comment.
Please be seated. Well, it's been kind of, starting off like Garrison Keillor, it's been a funny week. I have been away at clergy conference, which always stirs up complicated things in me. I want to talk a little bit about this almost like a refrain running through the lessons today about laying down one's life. And there are at least a couple of senses in which we have to look at this, because when Jesus talks, he actually did lay down his life in a physical sense. His confrontation with primarily the religious authorities of his time led to his death. But when we are enjoined, like as in the epistle to John, to lay down our lives, it's pretty important, I think, that we understand that the word in the original text didn't really refer to physical life. The word, when it says lay down your life, it's the same word that when we hear those texts, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. Same word, psyche. Psyche. If you try to save your psyche, you will lose it. And so maybe translate that as if you try to save your soul, or if you try to save the sense of who you think you are, that little, the little self that is, you know, much cherished by the ego. So it's not so much laying down your physical life, letting yourself be killed. And I mean, try to fill in that the blanks on that unless you live in one of the really distressed areas of the world. It's pretty unlikely that somebody's going to kill you in some kind of relation to your friend. But to lay down one's life in a different way is what we're going to be talking about. But as I make the joke about clergy conference and what it stirs up, and I fear it has set me on a kind of circuitous path to a way of thinking about what it might mean to lay one's life down. And to do that, I'm going to loop all the way back, it's not that far back, but a few months, to what we've been talking about in terms of Celtic spirituality. And the insight, which is actually a remembering for me. You work with ideas over decades, and sometimes something is sort of in the forefront and it recedes and it comes to the forefront. And one of the things that is really in the forefront for me these days is the presence of God in all things. That all things in creation have been created by God and are sustained by God, and nothing exists apart from God. And trying to work out the implications of that. And when I was preparing for the Celtic series, I was thinking of it in terms of how casually we accept what we call the secular world. And in one sense, it is an absurdity for us to speak of anything like secularity. All things are in God. The creation itself lives and moves and has its being in God. The emergence of the secular realm is really has much more to do not so much with the perception of God as it has to do with the attempts by church officials to control the world. And so they wanted to control the universities, and they wanted to control science, and they wanted to control everything. And so when the university or when science began to wriggle itself out from under church control, that's what we speak of as the secular realm. But we are hugely deceived if we think there is any realm in which God is not intimately involved. God is in all things and sustains all things. There is no secular realm. But I'm not saying I want the church to control things. Please, let me be as emphatic as possible on that. I'm just saying creation itself is a sacred reality, is a holy reality. And I was brought back to this as we were talking about clergy's professional experience, professional identity. One of our presenters made the comment about the effect effect of what it's like for priests to spend their lives handling holy things. And I was by that point a little irritated with her anyway. And so I was listening with that kind of little combative stance. And it wasn't until a while later, I go, do priests handle holy things? And especially, does a priest handle things that are holier than you handle? Is the communion wafer holier than the baby? I don't think so. And I think one of the besetting sins of religion is always to insist, and it usually does so by implication, insisting that what we do here is somehow holier or more important or more significant than what happens when you walk out the door. The communion wafer is the body of Christ, but your breakfast toast is not. And I would say the difference is really you. It's not in the bread. It's in you. You are perhaps attending, you are receiving, you are thinking of the communion wafer as something holy. And we tend not to think of our ordinary bread as holy. And I think that is a profound mistake. And I think it was really quite inconsistent with what Jesus was teaching. I think, you know, when Jesus summarizes the entirety of the Jewish tradition and says, what's it about? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your neighbor is yourself. I think he is really prescribing a way of going through the world where your fundamental spiritual practice is recognizing the presence of God in all things. And it's absolutely important that it be in all things. It's kind of an all or nothing. You know, I mean, and I even hear those old stories about the 99 sheep and the one little lamb that's lost. I mean, in the economics, I don't want to say anything about the economics of raising sheep because I know nothing about that. It seems unlikely to me that, the one sheep would but for Jesus, the one sheep was crucial. It's like it has to be everything. And he also was emphatic. He was saying, You've got to recognize God's presence even where you're most likely not to see it, which is to say, in your enemies. So, I've been wondering, I think you could say, and I don't think this would be false to what Jesus taught, unless you're seeing God everywhere, you're not really seeing God anywhere. Unless you're seeing God everywhere, you're not really seeing God anywhere. You're seeing something that is perhaps your own personal fantasy or something that reflects somebody's self-interest. But the whole game changes utterly when you recognize that nothing exists apart from God. That is the challenging spiritual practice to which we are called. And I would say, consider that. Consider the practice of living in the perception that all things come from God. Consider that as a way of laying down your psyche, laying down your life for those around you. How selfish can you be? How self-interested and indifferent to the welfare of those around you. How can you be that when your energy and your attention is devoted to recognizing God's presence in all things? And by doing this, by making this move, saying the real mystery, the real encounter with mystery, it's here too, but it's not specially here. What we do here is like training. We're trying to help ourselves understand what it might be like to receive every moment. the reverence that we receive communion. Every moment, every encounter is a communion with the presence of God. So it's not, I'm not trying to diminish the significance of what we do here. I'm trying to insist that what happens out there is of equal importance. Same sacred presence. God's not more present here than out there. We try to pay attention to God's presence here. We try to remember the qualities of God's presence. Not so that we can walk out and recognize it out there. And I would say, what I'm talking about is the basis for any meaningful social change. The real revolution starts always when you start insisting that all things share in the presence of God. Then things get lifted up. But remember, the world's hierarchies, the world's systems of value are not based on recognizing the presence of God in all things. They are not based on that. They are based on power. And in those hierarchies of power, things range from the supposedly very valuable to the completely worthless and expendable. And those can be human beings, it can be parts of the planet, it can be animals, species, whatever. Some things are expendable and some things are important. And this is blasphemy. Because all things are in God. And your life and yourself and sense of self will be transformed by this perception. Live in recognition that God is in all things. And make it your spiritual practice to recognize that. And your life will change, and you will have made, you will have been called by God's presence out of the ways we are concerned with ourselves that bring us so much pain and worry. You will be delivered from that, and you will be living in what has always been called the kingdom of God. God's presence recognized in all things. It will be right here. And you will have laid down your life, and you will be living from God's reality, not the narrow concerns that bring us such pain. Lay down your life for those around you, not like some, painful, bitter sacrifice, but rather hear it as the deliverance. You get to live in an infinitely larger world, a world that to which everyone belongs, a world in which everything shares in the presence of the Creator. Live like that, and you will know something that the peace that the world cannot